Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America.
It's Thursday in Tennessee, and what a treat. We got a sweet treat coming your way. Our guest today, Terrence Sweet Tea Grayson, and T, we're going to talk with you a little bit about all the different projects you're involved in, okay?
All right, man.
Terrence Sweet Tea Grayson, in just a moment, if you're looking to expand and join up with a world-class team to help build your music career, the one you've always wanted, check out BigRecords.World. The Big Records World is the world leader in indie music. They're the most forward-thinking record label in the music industry today. Been operating since 2019. They have a full team of professionals and services and connections that you need in the music industry. In fact, Big Records World just won the ISSA Independent International Promoter of the Year Award. Pretty cool stuff. Best part about them, though, is they do everything non-exclusive, so you don't have to worry about losing control of your brand, your music. Big Records World has a vast team specializing in sponsorships, touring, nonprofits, distribution, marketing, radio, sync licensing, which is huge, television, podcasts, and more. The team works with indie artists all the way up to some of the biggest names in the entertainment industry. Whether you're looking to just expand locally, expand nationally, or internationally, Big Records World Music Community will be a welcome to your musical family. Email them today, write to Mark at BigRecords.World. Not Mark at BigRecordsWorld.com. I won't get there. It's Mark at BigRecords.World. Let them amplify your music and your brand. A guy who does not need to be amplified, because you're one of the busiest people I've talked to ever on this podcast, dude. Terrence Sweet Tea Grayson's in the house. What's up, man?
What's going on? How you doing, man?
Doing good. Thank you for you, man. You got so much going on. I so appreciate you coming on and helping me out and doing this show, man. Because you're touring. You're getting ready to tour. Is that right?
Well, actually, no. I have a little while off, man. I'm about to get ready to do a cruise with my family.
That's it. Yeah, you do the fun thing.
It's gonna be my 3-year-old's first cruise, first flight, first cruise. You know.
No kidding.
So it's going to be super fun. I'm really excited about it. Actually having some time off to, you know, some time with the family and stuff. So
where are you headed? You doing a Caribbean?
We're doing a Caribbean, man. We're doing a Carnival Caribbean cruise.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where do you leave from there? Do you leave New Orleans or what?
No, we're actually leaving from Tampa.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. And then how many stops you get? You get like 3 stops, 5 stops, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Like,
I don't know. I'm just going.
I haven't been on just very many regular cruises, man. I'm always, all the cruises I've ever been on is like the blues cruises. You know, yeah. I've been on like 17 of those, babies. Then just 2 regular cruises, non-music cruise. So,
and are you working on those when you're doing like the blues cruise?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Victor Wainwright and the Train or Southern Hospitality.
Yeah. And so you brought them up. Let's talk about those. Those are a couple of the bands that you're involved in. Victor Wainwright is huge, The Train. And that's pretty big down in Memphis, right?
Well, Memphis, man, Florida, just pretty much all over, man. We go everywhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And then Southern Hospitality, I think I've heard of, but I know I've heard of Victor Wainwright and The Train. So is Southern Hospitality, is that a regional band as well?
Yeah, this band consists of Victor Wainwright, J.P. Swords, and Damon Fowler. You know, which those guys, they both have their own bands. J.P. Swords and the Gypsy Review, and they do tour as well. So, in a Damon Fowler band, he tours as well.
So, which came first? Was it Southern Hospitality? For you, which came first? Was it Southern Hospitality or was
it? No, it was actually, I played with Victor for about 5 or 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Ended up landing that gig. That band's kind of like a super band.
Yeah.
Group, whatever.
Right.
3 frontmen. And, we were using JP Soros' drummer, and it was Damon Fowler's bass player at the time. And,
Wow.
The kid ended up not being able to, you know, to make a really important gig. Well, he chose not to make the important gig, and stepped in and subbed and never stepped out, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Now, how long you been playing, man?
Man, so bass, man, I started playing bass maybe at like 12 years old.
You're kidding. See, so many cats begin on guitar, and then, you know, when they're 15, 16, they transition over.
Well, the thing is, you know, I come from a very musical family, man. My mom's an organ player. My dad was a bass player.
Oh, okay.
And you know, my brother was like a drummer, and my sister, oldest sister, was like, she played drums and was a choir director. And, you know, it was just like a family thing in the church, you know?
Yeah.
You know? So, like, I came along, you know, and started, basically, my first instrument was I started playing drums. And at church, in the church where there was no room for another drummer, you know, because there were already so many drummers, and my brother was blind. So, you know, and my dad being the bass player, I wanted to play guitar, but, you know, we had a couple of guitar players that was just in rotation. And my mom was like, well, we're going to put you on the piano. And I did not want to play the piano
at all.
But, you know, I had to play it. I mean, now I wish I would have pursued in the piano. Because,
really?
You know, yeah, man, like piano players, man, they get paid the most money for the most part, you know. And, you know, having that skill of playing the piano, man, that you're able to really, you know, get into production and stuff even more deeper because, you know, you'll be able to, you know, do structured chords and melodies and stuff like that. But, you know, I play piano, you know, fairly well.
So you finally got into it?
Well, yeah. Not that I wanted to, man. I used to sit back there and play that thing, and I'd be crying. But I had to do it, you know, because Mama said, play that piano.
Mama, get on your lessons. Hey, Mama, I want
to. Exactly.
But, man. It's so cool, though, coming from a musical background and then being able to just continue to do it. You know, that's so cool. I've talked to the lady that's on actually tomorrow after your show. Didn't get started until she was late in life. And I've talked to a lady who was last week, I think, in South Carolina or South Dakota, whatever, who parents were very staunch religious people, and she was a rock and roller. And when she, you know, started listening to rock and roll music, told them, instead of saying, here, let's go get you a guitar, let's get you going, I said, you're going to go to hell. You know, I was like, dang.
Well, you know, I didn't, you know, I got into the blues, you know what I'm saying, a little later. You know, I started off touring, like playing with, you know, gospel quartet groups and stuff like that at an early age. And that led to me, you know what I'm saying, meeting Bobby Rush, you know, playing with one of my good close friends.
Yeah,
his playing in his dad's gospel group. They owned a bus yard, and they used to work on Bobby's bus and drive his bus. So I used to just kind of tag along,
when
drive him to to overnight gigs and stuff like that. And I would just, you know, kind of hang out.
Yeah.
And,
did you ever get a chance to play with Bobby?
Oh yeah, man! I played with Bobby for about 11 years. Actually,
oh, you did not. Really?
Yes, man. That was my first. That was my first professional gig, man. I started playing with Bobby, man, when I was maybe like 19.
Wow, that's so impressive, man. Bobby Rush is something.
Yeah, man. I call him my grandfather of the blues, man. He's responsible pretty much for the direction that my whole. You know, as a blues bass player, man, he's responsible for that whole, you know what I'm saying, journey.
So
he gave me my start, you know.
As a blues bass player, do you use a pick? Do you use your thumb? Do you slap? What is your style more than anything?
I'm a finger guy, man. I can slap, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, of course, when, you know, I had to do a lot of that with Bobby, a lot of slap. Because, like, you know, Bobby, he had that funk thing.
Yeah, he's good, right. He's got that funk thing.
Yeah, but you know, like my go to man, I'm a finger guy, but I can slap. You know.
How would you rank yourself with Nathan East?
zero when it comes to that.
Come on,
Come on, man.
Come on, don't sell yourself short. I mean, he's great. He's great.
He's one of my favorite bass players. Yeah, he's one of the top guys, man. You know, he's one of the OGs. He's a GOAT, man.
He's the GOAT. I don't know if I'd put him up in GOAT status, but yeah, he's certainly great.
He's the GOAT. Come on, now that man's played on, like, he's one of
the... He played with everybody and then some more.
Oh, yeah, you know, I mean, you got your other bass players and stuff. I mean, he's totally different, you know what I'm saying, from your average, you know, Marcus Miller, Victor Wooten, and
right.
You know, those type of guys, but, like, he's the session king, man.
Nathan is the man with the fingers, man. I've watched him. Yeah. I've watched that hand, those hands. It's not that hand. It's those hands, man. He just knows where he's going. It's effortless and smooth and beautiful.
Yeah, man. He know how to throw them hands on that bass for sure.
Yeah. What's your rig? What do you play? What do you play through?
Man, so I was using Bagheera, but I just recently got a partial endorsement with Mark Bass.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, you know, I used a Stack 210 setup.
Okay.
With the little Mark 600.
Did you ever cross paths with Tony Vaughn up in Boston?
No, I actually don't. I've heard of him, though.
Yeah. He's one of my sponsors on the show. Mm-hmm. His family is into the leather industry, and they do a whole line of gig bags called The Bag. And it's because he's a bass player. They're designed for bass players.
Okay.
Anyway, so a little side, little plug for you there, Tony.
Hey, I'm definitely gonna check that out, man. You know, right now. You know, I'm with Delaney Guitars, man, out of Austin, Texas. He just built me my first signature bass.
No kidding.
I've been playing it for like a year and a half.
Yeah, like it?
The Sweet Tooth Signature J bass, man. I love it.
Yeah, is it heavy?
No, it's so light, man. You know, my main bass that I was playing was an American Jazz 5-string deluxe. Uh-huh. And, you know, I just picked it back up and played it on a gig last week, man. And I'm like, gracious, this thing is way heavier than my Delaney.
First time I picked up a Flying V, I thought I was going to break my back.
No, Gibson makes some heavy guitar.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got a Les Paul, which is nice. It's heavy. It's heavy. But I picked up this Flying V. Like, I wanted to get one because Albert King played it, the Flying V, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I wanted to have one in my collection, but man, I just can't. I can't do it. I'm too old and break my back.
Yeah. Well, that gold top Les Paul is my favorite, man. I fell in love with the sound of that thing. So,
that gold top, yeah.
Yeah, and Michael Birch played one, man, and that, you know, that tone that he got out of it, I was like,
mm-hmm.
I don't have a guitar, man. That would be what I play.
So when you're with, like, you're with Victor Wainwright in a couple different bands, is your tonal delivery the same, or do you modify it because of the sound of the overall band?
No, my tone is my tone, man. It's you know, my tone and my style is my, you know, that's what you know what I'm saying, separates me from pretty much any other bass players, man. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people, like, they stand outside the room and be like, oh, that's Sweet T playing. I know his tone. I know his style. You know,
that's cool, because so many people acquiesce. You know, they're like, well, you know, they want to do what the band leader wants, and they want to kind of fall back in the background. But here, you've got your own style, you got your own tone, and you present that, and you make that part of the band instead of, you know,
right. I mean, I've been so lucky with all of the bands. You know, the bands that I play with. You know, I've played with a few bands, but, like, you know, I'm one of those, you know, I'm one of those side men. I'm a stick and stay guy. You know what I'm saying? I don't just bounce around.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
You know, I played with, you know, Bobby for about 11 years. I played with Michael Birch for like, what, 3.5-4 years up until he passed.
Uh-huh. Well, that's cool. I know you played with Michael Birch, yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm actually on the last album that he recorded, man.
No kidding.
Yeah, man. I think Short Strength. Yeah. I'm on that album. And but, you know, I just never been, I've just never wanted to just be, you know what I'm saying, a musician that just go and just jump around and play for
it.
Because, you know, whatever situation I'm in, you know, I'm definitely in that situation to accommodate the front man. And, you know, and that's a lot why, you know, once I get hired by them, that's why they let me do me, man, because they, you know, I guess I have, you know, something to offer to them that they really like. So, and they don't ever try to change me. They just kind of let me do you know, do my thing, you know.
So, T, do you write? Do you write songs? Have you written some?
Man, so it's that's a weird thing for me, you know, as far as writing. I've written maybe two songs.
I've been playing since I was six, you know, and I wrote.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that one, like that main song that I wrote, man, it was me and my wife had a fight.
Oh no!
And yeah, you know what I'm saying? And you know, we got this thing, and you know, just in our relationship, you know, like you know, we can get into it, whatever, you know, however we can have fall out with each other, but nobody's going to storm out the room, and nobody's ever sleeping in another room. You know, we're going to work.
Amen. That's awesome. Yeah.
You work. And so I stormed out the room into my little music room at the time, man, and just started writing stuff out. You know, and you know, like I had already been working on some music for it or whatever, and I just started writing this song, man, and it shocked me actually. You know,
you like, play it wow. out? Do you play it out, or you just play it for your wife?
No, never play it out. It's just,
he's probably gonna get hit in the head with a frying pan.
Well, you know, it's a really sweet song, man. Yeah. It's called "A Piece of Me," you know.
Oh, okay.
And it's a really sweet song, and but like I always felt like I don't know what to write. I didn't, and it's really surprised me when I did that. But I don't know. I think I was born with writer's block. You know what I'm saying? I mean.
I talk about the muse that just flies over me when I try and write and just looks down, points, and laughs.
Right, exactly. That's me, man. That's me, you know.
But how'd you hook up with Victor? How'd you get up with Victor?
Man, so I was playing with after Michael Burks had passed, and I went back to Bobby Rush for a while, and I went on my first blues cruise. And Victor at the time was playing in the piano bar, you know, late night, and I went in there, and you know, and just was jamming out, and like, you know, a couple people was like, "You should play bass." I was like, "Nope, I don't got a bass." And one of the sound guys, Joe Mann, rest in peace, he was like, "If I get you something to play, you gonna play?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll play." And he comes back with this big hollow body upright.
Oh, no kidding.
I had never played an upright, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And he comes and plugs this thing in. Here you go, some strings. You know, back then, Victor used to play, man, like from maybe like 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning in the doggone piano bar. And I just tuned out with him, you know what I'm saying? Back then, he was smoking cigarettes, and I was smoking cigarettes. So on his breaks, we would like go out and just, you know, hang out and talk and stuff. And it's the thing with me, man, like that, over my whole career, if I meet somebody and I really kind of, you know what I'm saying, connect with them, I'll be like, we're going to work together at some point.
Yeah,
you know? And I put that into the universe, and man, it just seems like it always happened. You know,
that's cool.
It always happened.
Just a happenstance meeting.
Yeah, man.
And gives you your first ever upright.
Yeah, you know, and I'm like almost
3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah,
clear cruise.
Yeah,
first time playing it up.
Yeah, yeah, a bunch of cigarettes and booze later. You know what I'm saying?
That's,
like,
man, that's a movie. That's a movie, man. That's
you know
movie.
What I'm saying? Yeah, years later, man. You know, I actually was, you know, after I decided I was over the whole Bobby Rush gig, and I wanted to try to find something else. Mm-hmm. And I was weighing out my options. I, you know, was just going through a divorce, and I was tied to Jackson, Mississippi. And that was my introduction to Memphis. I moved to Memphis. Well, okay. I went to Memphis to do an audition with Anna Popovich. And really? I was going to do an audition with her. And I was also auditioning to go and do the B.B. King's cruise band.
Oh, wow.
And I did the audition for the B.B. King's band, and I really didn't care for the situation. And so I was like, well, I'm going to just go and try the Anna, you know, do the Anna audition and see where that goes.
Yeah.
And the day before I was supposed to go and do the interview, I got a Facebook message from Victor's then guitar player, Nick Black. Shout out to Nick Black. He's doing his thing too, man. He has his own band and stuff out in Memphis. But, you know, he hit me up. He's like, hey, man, we got like a 3-week tour. our bass player faked on us, man. He flaked on us. I, you know, you think you'll be able to do the gig? Uh-huh. And I was like, all right, yeah, man, I'm actually supposed to be doing an audition tomorrow. He was like, well, can you come to Victor's house today? You know, for a sit down and a little rehearsal or whatever, see if you fit. I was like, yeah. Went to Victor's house and did that. You know, so weird because, like, you know, we sat in there and we jammed, you know, just me, the guitar player, and the drummer. And then Vic comes in and just sits at the piano. And he was like, I'm going to do a boogie woogie and see. And he kicks off the boogie. You know what I'm saying? Some Jerry Lee Lewis, super fast. You know, and I'm a Pentecostal bass player. So when it comes to playing like fast, you know, I had that. You know, I was ready. And I, you know, and my.
That's in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's in my wheelhouse. And so I just jumped on it and followed him. And he played that. He ended that thing and was like, yeah, he going to work. And just left out the room.
It sits down. So Boogie and C jumps into it.
Hold up. So, Boogie and C really fast.
Finishes and says, he'll work. Walks out.
He'll work. That's walks out the room and sat back in his doggone
recliner. That's such a story, man. Great story. I love that.
Yeah, man. And like my actually my last gig with Bobby at that time was the Daytona Blues Fest. And we played that Saturday and he dropped me off with Victor to go and to start my first tour with him, man, and I've been touring with that guy ever since.
Now did Victor on that time when he walked in, did he remember that he played with you on that cruise?
Well, yeah, I told him, you know, when I first came in the house, you know, you know, he was like, oh, yeah, man, that's why the guitar player, you know what I'm saying, hit me up. Because I met this guy a little while ago, see if you can find him on Facebook.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know, and of course, you know, I was still out there on the scene, you know, at the, you know, everybody, you know, kind of knew me from being, you know, Bobby Rush used to call me his grandson. And for years, everybody just knew that I was his grandson. I just, you know, after a while, I was like, man, that's not really my granddad. He's like, my granddad of the blues. He, you know, shaped me in the blues. So, yeah, I call him my granddad.
That's funny. But people assume what they want to say. Hey.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it kind of, you know, set itself up because when I joined Bobby's band, you know, Bobby was known for using two bass players.
Oh, I didn't know it. No, I didn't know it.
Yeah, and so, you know, he had a bass player, and his name, bass player at the time, his name was Terry Richardson.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, you join in the band, you got two Terrys on bass, and Bobby was saying, this is my, you know, on the stage, this is my son, and we go on farther down the line, now this is my grandson. So everybody thought this man was my daddy, and he thought Bobby was with, you know, Big Terry and Little Terry. That's what they called us in the band. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, so like, you know, all of my Bobby Rush family, they call me Little Terry.
So, how did it evolve from Little Terry to Sweet T?
Dude, man.
You say, I don't know. That's good.
Big did it. I think a lady, you know, like the blues crews, you know, consist of a whole lot of older ladies.
Yes, so many of them.
And, you know, he's like, T, are you such a sweet man? We should just call you Sweet T. You
know, Mississippi.
T is definitely sweet in Mississippi. And Vic just like, we're going to start, you know, we're going to start on stage one night. He was introducing the band. He was like, and on the bass, we're going to start calling him Sweet T. Put your hands together for Taylor Sweet T Grayson. And it stuck.
How funny.
Yeah, and it stuck, man. I started making baseball caps with Sweet T on them. And
that's great. This is audio only. You got a really cool giant gold T on your hat right there, man. It's
well, you know what that means right there, man.
Volunteers, yeah. But we all know that it's really not the volunteers. It's the Sweet T. We all know that. They're promoting your brand for every time they go out on the field, go out on the court.
It goes two ways.
So back to Victor. We're going to listen to a couple songs with him. First one is with Victor Wainwright and The Train. And tell me why you sent me this song.
Man,
this one's Mississippi.
Yeah, that album that we did, man, it was actually like the first album that I actually played on with that band.
Oh, really?
And,
okay.
And was, you know, after he changed the name from the Wild Roots, you know, it used to be Victor Wainwright, and Wild Roots. And, you know, he kind of broke away, he wanted to do something different because, you know, it was just a four piece at first.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we were a super powerful four piece, man. And bro, like once he's like, I want to do something bigger. So we added two horns to the band. Yep. And it just seemed like that, you know, like when we hit the stage, man, we would just like run through that thing just like a train for sure.
Oh, okay.
Like, and, you know, he was like, I got to come up with a new name. And I was like, man, well, it's kind of like we can't be stopped once we hit that stage, man. We come through that baby like a locomotive, man. And he was, later on, he was like, I think we're going to call the band. I'm going to call the band the Train.
That's so cool.
And yeah, and so, yeah, man, and it caught on, you know. And so Mississippi, you know, was a song, man, like one of my favorite songs, man, because just
well, I mean, that's where you guys
yeah, you know, it's talking about my hometown, and you know, and it's just a really good song, man. It's just a really good song, and the album is just a really good album. So,
well, a really good song from a really good album with a really good bass player called Terrence Sweet T. Grayson. We're going to listen to the song right now, Mississippi, here on the Music of America podcast.
The Memphis, down around 61, drinking lightning from a bottle while we wait on the sun. Delta people, grown from the mud, the crossroads of music flowing deep in their blood. And I don't know if I can leave Mississippi. Oh, no. Smell the campfires, mama's cooking out back. Just up the hill behind a little old shack, view the magic of speaking the air. Hoppers up and dancing music everywhere, and I don't know if I can leave. Whoa, Mississippi.
Mississippi, Terrence Sweetie Grayson, our guest here on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Now, that was with Victor Wainwright and The Train, but he's also in another band you're in with Victor, and that's this other band we talked about earlier, that's Southern Hospitality. What's the difference between those two? So there's a story about that.
Oh, man, it's just, for one, man, it's, if I may say, man, just two badass guitar players.
Yeah.
Damon Fowler and J.P. Swords, which they have their own bands, along with J.P. Swords' drummer Chris Pete. Chris Pete just got nominated for drummer of the year in the Blues Music Awards. So man,
I'm not kidding! Wow,
for my boy for that. Heck yeah, man! I'm so proud of him. But and Victor on keys. So as you know, man, that this band, it's like a, I don't know, man. I would say it's like an Allman Brothers type thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like a,
yeah.
Definitely like a super band. It's a lot of guitar with a heck of a lot of piano going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Solid back beats on the drums with Chris Pete and me laying down some funky bass, man. And it's such a fun band. Totally different from The Train, which is a breath of fresh air for me anyway, because, you know, I just going from there and just, you know, from The Train, man, it's just been just electrifying band, just, you know, with horns and all that. And then to come back to some guitar slinging and some piano bashing, yeah, along with those guys, man, it's a great combination of two bands. And I'm so lucky to have those two bands as my touring bands. I couldn't ask for no more, you know what I'm saying?
Would you say the difference is like The Train is more of a fun, get up and dance, kind of move around kind of band, and Southern Hospitality is a kickback and chill and listen to them, or is it the other way around?
I mean, they're both a sit back and listen, because like it's so much going on, man. Like all of the musicians in the band individually, like in both bands, are like so good, man. With you know, with The Train, we got Pat Harrington. Shout out to my boy Pat on the guitar, man. He's like, you know, he's, bro, like he is so good.
Uh-huh.
We got Sam Butts, man, on the drums, man. He's actually out with Bernard Allison right now in year. But like he's like just, you know, I would say one of the newest members, but the two horn players are the newest members. Members Chandler Jenkins and Gavin Jurgensen.
Okay,
I might have they last names are too close together. Jurgensen. I get them all last name messed up, but they trumpet and sax, man. They're like so good, man. Like, and then of course with Victor, man. Like, I mean, I'm so lucky to be playing with like the combination of guys, man. Like, everybody's just so good and so talented just individually. So like when you put them together, man, it's kind of like, remember the Voltron, the cartoon?
You know, you put them together and they become a superpower.
You know what I'm saying? It's that type of thing.
Did this happen on the cruise, that these cats just all sat down and said, let's just do this?
Man, you know, so, you know, with The Train, we were a four-piece band, and that band consisted of, when I joined it, it was, we had, you know, two drummers that, you know, kind of switched out, Terrell Peanut Reed and then Billy Dean.
Uh-huh.
And on drums, and then we had my guy Nick Black on guitar. Well, Nick went out and started his own thing, you know what I'm saying, the Nick Black Band, and Damon Fowler, you know what I'm saying, suggested Pat Harrington, all the way from doggone New York.
Uh-huh, right. Well, he was doing his own thing too, wasn't he?
Oh, who's that? From Pat Harrington? Oh, yeah, Fowler has his own band.
Yeah,
but he suggested, because we was looking for a guitar player when Nick Black decided to, you know, to step out and do his own thing, and so they sent us Pat.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I mean, at first, bro, me and the drummer, we didn't want him. We did not want him at all.
Really?
I mean, you know, we were so confident, you know, with our old guitar player.
Well, sure, yeah. So, like, it's cool, we're good with what we got, right?
Yeah, but, you know, now it was time for him to make his move, and, you know, Pat came in, and we just did not want him at all, man. We gave that kid a hard, hard, hard time, man. But, like, he stepped up to the cause, and, man, like, now he's, like, one of my best friends and one of my favorite guitar players ever.
That's
man.
So cool. That's so cool how that happens, too, man, because, yeah. You get your click, you got your tightness, you know, you got the band, you got it. It's together. Oh, yeah. Bringing somebody else is like, do we want to mess with this chemistry?
Yeah, but the way we treated him, man, I don't even know how we ended up being so close now, man.
When I talk to musicians, I talk about the band like a roux, you know, and it's like adding the secret ingredient to your roux to make it stand apart from everybody else's gumbo.
Exactly.
You know? And that's exactly. What he sounds like he was for you guys, man.
Well, yeah, man, he came in, man, and, like, you know, once we, you know, we started playing together for a while, man, we realized that, you know, we were super tight with the old guitar player because everything was, like, so precise and just, like, straight across the board.
Yeah.
And we had almost leveled out. And with this guy coming in, with Pat coming in, it's just like, we was pushing him so hard, and we started to find out, whoa, this kid ain't got a roof. Like, he can just go and bigger and bigger, you know. So, like, you know, now, man, he's one of those guys now, man. He's so good. And then we added the two horn players when we became the train. We had Doug Wolverton, which is now with Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Yeah.
And Mark Early. He retired, you know what I'm saying? But, like, those two guys, like, you definitely couldn't ask for no better horn players because they were, like, so seasoned and they just knew their thing, man.
Yeah, see, I got the old Kenny Wayne in my mind. When you talk about Kenny Wayne Shepherd, I'm thinking Blue on Black and way back then, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
But I don't think I've caught any of his newer stuff, but I've heard that he's added a whole show.
Yeah, man, he added those two horns.
Yeah, and
I mean, they're sounding great. Of course, you know, Kenny Wayne Shepherd's always been doing big things, man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But it's a really great show, man. If definitely, like, man, anybody, you know, if Kenny Wayne Shepherd's playing near you, man, go check him out for sure.
Yeah, too, for
man.
Sure. But let's listen to the second song. This one is with Southern Hospitality again. So it's a lot of the train and a lot of not the train.
Well,
because it's you, it's Victor, right?
Yeah, just me and Victor from the train.
Oh, I thought, okay, I'm sorry. I thought you had a crossover, your guitar player crossover too.
No, it's just those two front men. Okay. Yeah, JP and Damon.
Okay, so I thought JP was also with okay, so you had too many characters, man, too many moving parts for this whole cat, you know.
Dude, I mean, it's a lot and then not, you know what I'm saying?
The song is called Nobody's Fault But Mine, Story of My Life, you know.
I mean that song, man, that with that album, this, like, they hadn't did an album in like over 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so, like, their last album they did, they recorded it with Tab and Walk. And so, you know, they was like, all right, man, we've been together for a long time. It's time to do an album. And so we, you know, got together and, you know, and spent 2 weeks, man, in the studio, man, and just wrote songs and recorded them.
That's fun, man.
And this is one of my favorites because I did a lot of the background vocals on it. It's Damon Fowler's leading the song.
Gotcha.
But me and Victor did the background vocals and stuff like that for that one. And I played bass and Victor keys, Chris Pete on drums, Damon and JP guitars.
There we go. And the song called Nobody's Fault But Mine with Terrence Sweet Tea Grayson, our guest here on the Music of America podcast.
Nobody's fault but mine. nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul is lost, it's nobody's fault but mine. I had a mother who could pray. I had a mother who could pray. So if I die and my soul is lost, it's nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul is lost, it's nobody's fault but mine. Well, I had a mother who could sing. I had a mother who could sing. If I die and my soul is lost, Lord, it's nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul is lost, I said it's nobody's fault but mine. I can read. I've got a Bible I can read. So if I die and my soul is lost, it's nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul is lost, say there's nobody's fault but mine. Soul is lost, it's nobody's fault but mine. It's nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul is lost, said it's nobody's fault but mine. Said, well, if I die and my soul is lost, it's nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. No. nobody's fault but mine. And my soul is lost. It's nobody's fault but mine. Well, if I die and my soul is lost, it's nobody's fault but mine.
Nobody's Fault But Mine, Terrence Sweet T. Grayson with the band Southern Hospitality on that selection. And we got a song coming up with you and playing with Eric Johansson we're going to talk about here in just a minute after I talk about a conversation I was having with a friend of mine about a book that my brother wrote. It's a couple's workbook called 2 Years After Forever. It's like this how-to guide to improve your communication skills, which, as anyone in any relationship knows, is crucial. So we spoke later in the conversation. I mentioned the book again. I said, 2 Years After Forever is the name of the book I told you my brother wrote. She interrupts me. She goes, oh, your brother's book. I thought you meant a book you borrowed from your brother. Three little words, my brother's book, two interpretations. In 2 Years After Forever, there are exercises that help you form better communicative skills to avoid pratfalls like that one, along with your partner learning. And applying these exercises help you get back on track to why 2 years ago you pledged a life together forever. 2 years After Forever, www.2yearsafterforever.com. It's available on Amazon today and forever. And we're with Terrence Sweet T. Grayson from Seymour, Tennessee. That's just outside of Memphis, then? You've been outside?
Knoxville.
Oh, more Knoxville. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to talk to you about the Rendezvous, my favorite barbecue place in Memphis.
Oh, is it really?
Huh?
Is it really?
Yeah, I went to Memphis years ago, and it's so funny. I stayed at a Holiday Inn, and my ex-wife at the time, we were there with my folks, and Mom and Dad went to bed early, and we wanted to get something to eat. So we went downstairs. We're in the Holiday Inn, and the menu's all the same, man. Holiday Inn in Memphis is the same as the Holiday Inn in New York City or Butte, Montana. And they're like, right, that's just the way it is. I said, man, we come to Memphis. I don't want to eat, you know, chicken cordon bleu or whatever, you know?
Right.
She goes, you want some barbecue?
Yeah.
So she says, here's what you do. She goes, and I swear to God, man, that's what she said. She goes, go out these doors here. And we come to the alley, go down the alley. When you get to the dumpster, you turn left. I swear to God, that's what she says. We get to the dumpster, we turn left, and there it is. You know, I went and did carry out. I walk in, and it's got those little 1-inch black and white tiles on the floor. It's just gray because it's so, you know, so just so much smoke and charcoal and barbecue. And,
you
know,
you slip and fall from the grease on the floor, man.
Yeah, and it just smells so good.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a couple combo platters, took them up to the room, and, man, it's the best barbecue I think I've had ever, aside from what I cook myself, because I'm a master.
All right, well, you got to invite me over for some of that. I want to test that out.
Well, you got to check out my ribs and my brisket. That's what I'm known for, my ribs and my brisket. Right. My chicken and turkey is always too dry. I did a ham on Easter. That was good. My pulled pork is pretty good too, but I'm developing my own rub and my own sauce. So that's when it's going to really take off, I guess.
I gotcha.
and that was my shameless self promotion, but yours is coming up. We'll talk about. talk to me about Eric Johansson. How'd you meet up with him, and why'd you do?
And so he was roadieing for Tab on the Blues Cruise, and Tab recorded his first album that he put out or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, he was on the Whiskey Bayou record label or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think I'm saying that right. Yeah, but we just kind of became friends. We did a lot of jamming and stuff on the cruise together. And, you know, afterwards he hit me up one day. He was like, hey, man, you're in Memphis, man. I'm going to be doing my album, you know what I'm saying, with Cody Dickinson.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I would love for you, you know, to come and play some bass. So me, him, and Cody Dickinson, man, did, you know, went down to their studio. And we recorded that album, man. And
it was the trend.
Yeah, man. It was great. It was fun, man.
aren't those fun, man? Three-piece combos are just one. When you come from something big, you know, just go and sit down with a three-piece and just kick
it. Exactly, man. Yeah, we kicked it hard, and you know, 5 days later, man, we had the Below Seated Level album, and it turned out really good. It sounded great.
Yeah, but I can't say the song title without it sounding like, what do you say? Sound like I got bubblegum in my mouth.
Yeah, big wad of bubblegum.
I'm going to stumble through this and we're going to try it. So this is Terrence Sweet Tea Grayson with Eric Johansson's band, three-piece combo, whatever. The song is called Buried Above Sea Level. How'd I do?
You did good. you kind of red in the face over there trying to get that one out.
I'm panicking here, man. I'm like, don't let me screw it up. Don't let me screw it up. Funny. So, T, let's give it a listen. This is Buried Below Sea Level here on the Music America podcast. Gonna try and butcher it again. Buried Below Sea Level. Got it right again. There we go. Right? He's just gonna laugh at me. Our guest today, Terrence Sweet Tea Grayson, and we get another song coming up that he does with Tony Holiday. We're gonna talk about that in just a moment. We've all done this. You know, you're playing, you find that perfect tone you're looking for, and then the club owner walks up to you and says, "You know what? You're a little too loud." Something to that effect, and you're going to change that, which worked all day, all night for trying to achieve, you know, that tone where you're always in the sweet spot. Well, introducing the Lexi from Landry Amps. Now, the Lexi is a 100-watt amp that has at its core a vintage Plexi circuit. The Lexi has a rhythm crunch channel, boosted lead channel, digital reverb, a tube buffered effects loop, depth control, has an awesome voicing switch, and it has considerably more gain than a Plexi does, but at volumes that range from a whisper all the way to concert volume levels, and it's designed to be played at those lower volumes without losing that tonal quality. It's a really brilliant design. The two channels share their own, the two channels each have their own gain and master volume control, but they share the EQ. Check it out at Landry Amps, www.landryamps, or go to Bill Landry's YouTube channel. It's Landry Amps on YouTube. Bill will actually walk you through all of the amps that he builds for you, play through them, and you can hear the difference, and he'll explain the difference, why this amp is different from this. Really clever how he does it, puts it together for you, makes it easy for you to buy a boutique amp. Landry Amps, www.landryamps.com. Our guest is Terrence Sweet T. Grayson from, well, originally Mississippi, now Seymour, Tennessee, and gosh, all over the world, because he's a blues traveler, he's a blues cruiser, he's a everything. How about that for a build-up? He's trying to be humble now.
Look, don't forget husband and dad.
Oh, that's right, that's right. But see, the wife isn't there, and you got to go get your daughter, go get your three-year-old, right?
Yeah, she's over at the grandparents' house, and yeah.
And then you're going on a cruise. So before we let you go on a cruise, talk to me about Tony Holiday, and the last song we're going to listen to is called Robin Steele. Tell me about that and how that came about.
Well, you know, first off, man, Tony, man, he came about, man, like, you know, we're in Memphis, you know, we're all, you know, I was, you know, me and Victor were roommates, me and him and my wife now. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know where Tony came from. I was just like, Tony just all of a sudden just showed up and like, you know what I'm saying? Oh yeah, this is my friend Tony. And Tony just became like a brother to me.
Just like part of the family.
Yeah, Tony just appeared, actually. You know, so we all just like, where did Tony come from? Tony just appeared. He's a harmonica player, guitar player, vocalist. And, you know, he always was saying, man, I don't know if I can afford you, man. I want to get you on one of my albums, because he does so much, man. Like, it's weird, man. You know, he's one of those, you know what I'm saying, one of your friends who'd be like, how's Tony doing all this? You know what I'm saying? Like, Tony's, you know, how's he getting this done? Like, he has a press session, you know, going on. And like, he gets everybody on those press sessions, man. He's done me and Victor, you know, he's done Bobby Rush, man. He's done some of everybody, you know.
He can say going on in Memphis?
Well, dude, he does it in Memphis, man. He'll go wherever, you know what I'm saying? And you know, whatever porch he finds,
sessions are cool, man.
Dude, they're so cool, man. And, you know, he really does a good job at them, man. But he comes and he was like, you know, I wanna do an album, man. I'm gonna do another album, but I want you to play bass. And I was like, I don't know if I'll be able to afford you. I was like, Tony, stop playing with me, man. You know you're gonna afford me. I ain't that guy. He was like, all right, well, we're going to do it. We went back down to Cody Dickinson, Zebra Ranch.
Yeah, yeah.
In Mississippi. And Cody, him and his brother, they engineered. It was me, Tony, and at the time, I can't think of my guy's name, guitar player. He was writing a lot of the songs and stuff. And we had Lee Williams from Clarksdale on drums, which showed up super late. And, well, I had Bill Street gigs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I
needed
to do and stuff. And he showed up late. But, like, man, we came in and we did the rhythm section stuff, man, for Tony's album. Like, literally, we did his whole album in, like, one day.
Wow.
Like, that guy came in late, and I was like, hey, man, I got to be gone by 5 because I got to start playing.
You got to play, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you know. And so, like, bro, like, we knocked out, like, 9 or 10 songs, man, in between. He made it there probably, like, 1 o'clock.
Now, do you have sheets in front of you when you're doing stuff like this, or do you just play?
Man, I get criticized by my band members because everybody make notes.
Uh-huh.
But I don't make notes.
You just hear it and feel it.
Like, yeah, man, you know, like, I mean, I'm almost blind for one, you know, in school and in marching band and stuff like that.
I see, man, now you got me staring at your glasses.
Oh, you want to see it from the side? Man, I'm thinking, hey. Them babies,
I've seen mason jars. They're so thick.
Oh, they got some thickness to them, man. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that just forced me to, you know, to really have to, you know, like learn stuff by memory a lot.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, of course, you know, I fooled my band director a lot anyway back then. You know, he just knew that I was just such an excellent reader.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was not. And, you know, I was one of his top two. I was a tuba player. And I was one of his top sousaphone players, man. And he was like, man, you know, you're one of my best players. And then he come to doing the solo ensemble where you individually go in and you perform and you have to play these tunes and then you have to sight read and stuff like that. He found out before that boy can't read nothing, you know. He's like, what you been doing back there, man?
He's
like,
all these years in music, he's still,
yeah, you know, everybody else got a music law on their horn and you never had a music law. And I was like, well, I just learned the music, you know. I got him superior ratings in, you know, in the jazz band when his original bass player was a baseball player and he tore his rotator cuff playing baseball. Uh-huh. Couldn't do it like 2 or 3 weeks before competition. And, you know, I used to hang out because my brother was the drummer in the jazz band. Just hang out, you know, and when he needed a bass player, I came in and I played it because I had been sitting in and just, you know, observing the rehearsal. So, yep. But, yeah. But no, man, like, I go in the studio, take me a cup like this right here, you know, my vape, and I sit in my little corner, man, and
just do your thing.
Put my headphones and do my thing. Everybody else be going through these papers with their notes and stuff. Man. I got
you just kicked back.
I can remember music real good, but yeah, I can remember. I don't know none of my passwords to nothing, so but I can remember the song.
That's too funny.
I mean, true story. I had to call my wife at work. I was like, babe, what'd you say your password for your?
That's too funny.
Well, oh, man, yeah.
Let's check it out. This is the last song we're going to hear with Terry Sweet Tree. I knew it. See, I knew Adventure was going to slip up. I was going to say it. Terrence Sweet Tea Grace. And it's just too many R's, man. Too many R's and not enough coffee. Song is called Rod and Steel. Tony Holiday, right? Tony Holiday?
Yeah, man. Tony Holiday.
Tony Holiday and on bass, Terrence Sweet Tea Grayson here on the Music America podcast.
Kiss me, baby. Treat me right. Oh, you made me love. You got Rod and Steel. Rod and Steel, Rod and Steel. Hard times, baby. Hard times. No, it ain't right. No, you made me love. You got Rod and Steel, Rod and Steel.
right. Though you made me love you, got to rob and steal, rob and steal, rob and steal.
Robin Steele with Tony Holiday and our guest, Terrence Sweetie Grayson, here on the Music of America podcast. We have a mutual friend in Dave Keller, we just found out. Dave has been on the show, and that's pretty cool. Dave, I know from up in Vermont, and you and him have played together. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, man. That's awesome, man. Dave's a really good guy, man. He's a nice guy and a great musician.
He really is, man. Won some awards like you. I guess, we didn't talk about this. You win some awards?
Man, so I got Band of the Year with Michael Burks. Album of the Year with Michael Burks, BMA. Uh-huh. And then we got Band of the Year with Victor Wainwright, BMA. And then the Train album got Oh, yeah, so that was pretty cool, man. We actually got a chance to go and experience the Grammys, man.
That's neat,
in a very awkward way, man. Like, just like we were on the blues cruise and had to get up at 4 in the morning and get an early disembarkment off the thing to, like, fly to, you know, to L.A. to go to the Grammys, man. We were all – so I slept through the Grammys the whole –
I
was up for the after party, but I was in the Grammy sleep like I was in church, man. I'm telling you.
I was too funny.
I think it was a really, really great experience, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. Well, T, this is the last segment of the show, and this is a good segue for that because your awards, this is called Shameless Self-Promotion, and I wanted to use that to kind of prime the pump a little bit and have you talk about yourself. Tell us about you and where we can find you and where the best way is to connect with you and get all your music and merch and get one of the cool big T hats that you get on.
Well, you know, I retired from making the sweet T hats and everything, but I will say my signature bass just came out. It's on the market with Delaney Guitars.
Okay.
DelaneyGuitars.com and check that out. You know what I'm saying? Y'all buy one, I get a little percentage of it. Get one.
You know, buy a couple of them. And play through a Landry amp.
Now you gotta actually play, well, yeah, your choice, Landry amp, or you can play it through Mark Bass, you know.
Okay.
Also, man, y'all check out VictorWainwright.com. Uh-huh. You know, any shows that you know near you, y'all come and check us out, and also check out Southern Hospitality. I'm sure you can, you know, find it if we're in your area. Please come and see us. And if you're local,
you touring anywhere soon?
Yeah, but I don't be knowing until they tell you. I don't know. Actually, they just be like, "Yeah, your flight confirmation," and I go to the airport and I look at my, "Oh, okay, I'm about to be ready to go here." All right.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I get there. Yeah, I'm kind of an airhead sometimes. But if you're here locally in the Seymour and Knoxville area, man, check out Southern Gentlemen. We do the Tennessee Riverboat a whole lot. My father-in-law and my brother-in-law.
How fun.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to a rehearsal here later on this evening with that band. We play Saturday night on the Tennessee Riverboat. So
that would be so cool, man, be on a riverboat and hearing some blues, man.
Yeah, dude, man, we play blues, man. We play some of everything, man, from Muddy Waters to Jackson Brown.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Do you ever get into jazz at all, T?
Man, I have no business playing jazz, man. I respect it so much, man, that I don't even, you know, if you want me to, you know. If you want me to play some jazz, man, you might as well get ready to hear.
There's a football story. A guy used to play for the St. Louis Football Cardinals, a guy named Jim Otis. And the story was that he would go to the coach, Don Coryell, and said, "Coach, if you need 1 or 2 yards, put me in, I'll get you 1 or 2 yards. If you need 3 or 4 yards, put me in, I'll get you 1 or 2 yards. Because he knew what he could do. Give him the ball 50 times, I'll give you 100 yards a game.
That's true, man. You're going to get what you get. You know, I mean, I can try to do a doggone jazz walk all you want, but the jazz is going to sound like a shuffle.
That's perfect. I love it. Hey, yeah. T, man, this has been fun. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate the time, man. I know you're getting ready to take a cruise, and I've never done one, but I've taken vacations with family, and I know how crazy it is the day before.
Oh, yeah, man. Thank you so much for having me, man. It's been an honor, man.
Hey, for sure, man. And don't be strangers. Let's get maybe next season we'll get Victor come on with you.
Yeah, man, that'd be great.
That'd be fun. It'd be a lot of fun, man. All right, man. Terrence Sweet Tea Grayson, our guest here today on the Music America podcast. Tomorrow we say goodbye to Tennessee, but not without a visit with country rocker Steph McGuire. So join us tomorrow. The last day we'll be in Tennessee here on the Music of America podcast. You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. We invite you to follow us at our website, www.musicofamericapod.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly known as Twitter, under the same name, Music of America. Please check us out and give us a like and a follow. Every day, Monday through Friday, we will feature a new guest from that week's featured state. Keep following us as we evolve on these platforms to continue to give members of the music community a voice and a presence. And thank you for listening to the Music of America podcast. Sounds.